threes on the shelf. 12-16 into the game, has a multi-point game.
And the Bruins control. Bergeron now 2-for-2 against Evgeny Malkin. Pastrnak to Bergeron, he scores! That was a dart. Into the final minute. Letang, Pastrnak, Marchand. Wow, what a tremendous teammate Pastrnak is. Beating the snake-bitten Marchand for the capper.
And welcome in Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy. We are here at Twin Peaks on the Strip getting set for the Vegas Golden Knights and the Boston Bruins. That will be pregame at 3:30, so an abbreviated show today, followed by Dan Duva and Gary Lawless on the play-by-play. Jeff Rubino here setting us up, doing a great job as always, and Chris Chapman back in the studio.
We're a team.
We are indeed a team, and well, we're a team that's getting set for one more game, and then many of the players, coaches, a lot of people going off to enjoy their downtime with the All-Star break and the bye week.
Yes, they are. And so we are here. We are looking forward to this game against the Boston Bruins in Boston. The Golden Knights are looking to take 5 out of a possible 8 points on their 4-game road trip going into the All-Star break in the bye week. And then they're, you know, looking to start on the right foot out of the bye week. But that's for another time. You assume that the Golden Knights are going to get healthy by the end, or healthier, or close to healthy by the end of the bye week, because rest and relaxation sometimes yield better results in terms of trying to recuperate an injury. That all being said, there's a game tonight in which the Golden Knights are going to be facing a really good, incredibly angry, maybe frustrated Boston Bruins team. And three elite offensive players in David Pastrnak, Brad Marchand, pronunciation change there, and Patrice Bergeron.
Let's take a look at our Vegas Golden Knights on the road, brought to you by Subaru of Las Vegas. You mentioned a team that, although you would think that they would have a lot to be happy about right now, Eastern Conference, the Boston Bruins, 28-10-12, managed to hold on to second place with 68 points, tied for second in the entire NHL with the St. Louis Blues. They have an 8-point cushion on the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Atlantic Division. However, they have given up 3-goal leads in 2 of their last 4 games.
And the Golden Knights have given up, well, they've allowed teams to go up 3-0 on them quite a bit. That's been a recent theme for the Golden Knights. So it's really going to be an interesting game, I think, in terms of the first 20 minutes. We've talked about it over the last couple of days. But for me, the key in this game for Vegas is to not allow the first period to prevent them from getting points. Do not allow the first period to take you completely out of the game or put you so far behind that you have to scratch and claw your way back in just to salvage a point. Or take yourself completely out of the game to where it's a foregone conclusion that Boston's just going to skate to a victory. You have to be tough. You have to hang in the first period. You have to have a better start.
Tuukka Rask has been on the ice skating. He will not play again tonight. He's still out. Yaroslav Halak will get the call. Then Rask expected to come back after the break for the Boston Bruins. And another guy that's a big part of the Bruins' offense when they're rolling, David Krejci, will be a game-time decision. He did skate in the morning skate for the Bruins today.
Yeah, and David Krejci right now is he's the fourth best point producer on this Boston Bruins team. So they're led by David Pastrnak, 37 goals, 33 assists, 70 points. Brad Marchand, 21 goals, 44 assists, 65 points. And then Patrice Bergeron, 21 goals, 20 assists, 41 points. And then Krejci's got 32 points, 11 goals, 21 assists. I mean, this is a top-heavy team. This is one of those teams that they've got elite scoring. They've got pretty good depth. It's not their depth players, their third and fourth line. They're not going to light it up every night offensively, but they will pick up the slack from here or there, time to time. And then they've got some pretty good scoring from the defense. Torrey Krug, 5 goals, 27 assists, 32 points in 42 games. I mean, that matters. Charlie McAvoy, no goals. And that's a little bit surprising. No goals for Charlie McAvoy on the year, but 17 assists. When you get those types of numbers from the back end, it certainly does help.
A lot of people might think that it's a plus for Vegas not to be having to face Tuukka Rask. Yaroslav Halak making his third straight start for the Bruins against the Vegas Golden Knights. 4-0-0, 1.71 goals against, and a .951 save percentage. That doesn't sound like something to look forward to me necessarily.
No, I mean, Yaroslav Halak has been really good, especially against the Vegas Golden Knights. You look at what his numbers are this year, 2.49 goals against average and a .918 save percentage. So the numbers from last year, I want to say, have come down a bit for Yaroslav Halak, but he's still a luxury to have that type of goaltending as your 1B, so to speak. It allows Tuukka Rask to get the rest when needed. It allows you to go through a spell where you lose your number one goalie because of a concussion, and you're not panicked. You know that you've got a guy that can kind of get you through and weather that storm. So when you look at the Bruins, they're just a team that has been around the block a lot. They're a team that has and understands what their roles are, both individually and collectively. They're well-coached, and they've got good goaltending. So it's going to be a real tough challenge for the Golden Knights against this Bruins team that traditionally just plays them really tough.
In goal for the Vegas Golden Knights, Marc-Andre Fleury gets the start, attempting to pass up Henrik Lundqvist for sole possession of fifth place amongst NHL goaltenders. Lundqvist not scheduled to start tonight, so if Fleury gets the win, he passes him. Obviously, they're both still active, so that could go back and forth depending on how things go. But a lot of, there was some speculation, would Fleury miss this game or the game coming back on the 31st after the break against Carolina? Well, now we know he will be missing the Carolina game. He's in net tonight.
Yeah, and my theory on that was if the Golden Knights probably got two more points on the trip up until this point, like say they had gone 3-0 and they were, you know, six points out of eight, they probably don't play Marc-Andre Fleury in this situation. But then again, you know, maybe I'm wrong there too. It's very possible. I just felt like, you know, you might have just taken this one off for Marc-Andre Fleury, but this is a team that right now needs points, and I think you try to get a win going into that break to feel good about yourself, and the best chance that you have to do that is Marc-Andre.
Let's take a look at the Vegas Golden Knights keys to the game, brought to us by Honda North. If Vegas is to get a win here and end this, the first part of the road trip, of course it's eight games overall, but it's really four, then split up by the break, then back with four more on the road. If they want to end this going into the All-Star break and the bye week, what do they need to do to get a win in Boston? You mentioned they're a very good team. Halak is a quality backup goaltender. Obviously, they're going to need to get good goaltending from Marc-Andre Fleury. At least you would think that would be the case here. But one of the things would seem to be, although Boston has given up three goal leads, like we mentioned, in two of their last four games, certainly not something you want to count on. I would think that you'd want to try to score early and maybe get the crowd out of it a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think they've got to start on time. Like, that's number one. The Golden Knights need to start on time. They've got to make sure that their first period doesn't take them out of a game or force them to change up how they're trying to play or what they're trying to do throughout the remainder of the game. But more than that, I think they need to get pucks in deep, and I think they've got to try to wear out the Boston Bruins a little bit. And that's not an easy thing to do. But when you hear head coach Pete DeBoer talk about this team and talk about their identity, he's talking about working, he's talking about playing on their feet, playing north, and he's talking about pressure in certain situations. If the Golden Knights are able to do those things, they can beat any team in the league. They really can. But it's going to come from smart pressure, and it's going to come from outworking your opponent. And it starts tonight with the Boston Bruins. You've got to outwork Boston. And that's not an easy thing. When you look at, in terms of the best defensive forwards in the game, Patrice Bergeron is constantly number one. And the Golden Knights think that they've got one of the best defensive forwards in the game, too, in Mark Stone. Mark Stone's going to have to be better than Patrice Bergeron tonight. And Max Pacioretty, and this is an unfair comparison, Max Pacioretty has been fantastic for the Golden Knights this year, right? He has, no joke. But tonight, Max Pacioretty is going to have to be better than David Pastrnak. Paul Stastny is going to have to be better than Brad Marchand. Like, that line has to be better than Boston's first line. They have to be.
And certainly Pete DeBoer has talked about it a lot already since he has taken over the team. You want to play all four lines. You want to get those quick shifts. That's an important part of his aspect of the game. But certainly you want to do that against this team. If you can get some depth scoring against Boston, it's certainly going to help. Because when you think of Boston, like you mentioned, they have better depth than maybe most people give them credit for. It's just that their top line is so good that they get most of the accolades and the all the applause in Boston from the media. And I guess you could say rightfully so.
Yeah, again, it's a top-heavy team. Like that, I'm not going to try to say that the Bruins have the best depth in the NHL. They've certainly got enough of it to win hockey games when their main guys aren't going. The problem is it's not often that the main guys aren't going for the Boston Bruins. And that's why I'm talking about the importance of Stone, Pacioretty, and Stastny being really good tonight, because you have to factor in, you have to account for the fact that Marchand, Pasternak, and Bergeron are just going to be on. Like, pencil in 2 or 3 points for those guys. Just do it right now, because that's what's going to happen. That's just what they've done all year long. So now it becomes the Golden Knights are going to have to match elite skill with elite skill, and then you're going to have to hope that your depth outscores Boston's.
Bruce Cassidy mentioned before this game that he's sure that the Golden Knights have started implementing some new different things, so they'll be looking at that a little bit, but not sure how much they've had to do because they've only had a couple practices. I thought Pete DeBoer said something interesting. I want to get your thoughts on it. Talking about this game tonight, he said, this game is important, but for me, I just want to see us keep moving forward, keep pushing the needle, start doing some of the things we're talking about. I think the result's always great, but for me, what the game looks like big picture is more important, end quote. To me, what I'm reading into DeBoer saying there is, yes, we'd love to get the win. We want to get that result, but I'm looking at the whole picture of the game. I want to see us play as close to 60 minutes as possible. I want to see the fight that we saw in Montreal. If they're not going well, certainly you want to turn things around and get back in a game. But if they are going well, you also want to keep up that intensity. It looks like he's really looking at, okay, win or lose tonight, I want to see what I'm looking at for the rest of the season as we try to make a playoff run.
You know, I as you say that, it's a tough pill, I think, for a lot of people, because it's a results business, right? Like, you have to assume that Gerard Gallant is no longer the coach of this team, not necessarily because of the process, but because of the results.
Exactly.
So it's a brave statement, I think, for Pete DeBoer to say, you know, the results matter and they mean something, but overall, I'm looking at the process right now. When you have a team that you expect to be at the top of their division come the start of the playoffs, and you're looking at a team that you expect to win a Stanley Cup or at least get very deep in the playoffs, saying that you're worried more about the process than you are about the results is a interesting way and pretty brave way of putting it, but I don't necessarily think he's wrong. Like, this team's process needs to be more important than wins and losses right now. And that's not always going to be the case. Like, you give Pete DeBoer 5 to 8 games to work on the process. But then things need to start working in the right direction at that point. Because if they don't start working in the right direction, then it opens up a whole other set of questions, one of which is, are they running out of time?
And that's one of the reasons I wanted to throw that in there, because I agree with you. I think he also figures that, and I think it should be this way, because he is new to the team, for him, the big picture and the process is more important right now. Gerard Gallant already knew what he had. He had been the coach of this team for 2.5 seasons, more or less. He knew the roster. He knew what was going on. Pete DeBoer is still trying to learn this team. I think he really wants to see this. Then he's going to sit back and look at what he's seen in the 3 games he's had, probably look at some of the games before he was coaching there as well, and see what he needs to do or what he thinks he needs to do to find that recipe for success and get those results after the All-Star break. He's not saying we can't win this game or we're not going to win this game tonight. He's saying if we win, great. That's what we're looking for. But it's even more important that win or lose, or get the loser point or whatever you want to call it as well, I'm looking at the entirety of the game, because I've got 10 days now to really see what I have down the road for the rest of the season, the final 30 games or so.
Yeah, and I think that in the course of those 10 days, Pete DeBoer is going to look at the breaks in the schedules. He's going to try to find a way to maximize the practice time for this team and maximize what he can and cannot implement, and he's going to have a better plan. Like, you come into a situation where you arrive essentially the day of a game and you've only got like 2 practices to really figure out what you have. It's going to take some time and there's going to need to be some patience here. And I understand that's a hard ask, especially when you consider the last 5 days, 7 days in Golden Knights land, right? So coming out of the bye week, it's going to be very interesting to see how that reset both mentally and physically helped the Golden Knights. But it's also going to be interesting how Pete DeBoer implements certain situations and certain systems that he wants implemented and how quickly the guys can pick it up.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Once again, the pregame will be on at the bottom of the hour, 3:30, getting ready for game 52 of the season for the Vegas Golden Knights as they will be taking on the Boston Bruins at out in Boston. So, you know, another thing that does take a little bit of time is our Oil Hotel and Casino Play of the Day. So let's get in there now. The Oil Hotel and Casino Play of the Day, home of the 24/7 $2 beers. And remember, before and after all Vegas Golden Knights games, $5 buckets of 5 beers at the Oil.
So we're going to let, again, Chris Chapman drive the bus, fly the plane. I don't know, whatever you want to. Whatever euphemism you want to go with.
Well, you've been saying drive the bus.
Yeah,
we turn the keys
fine.
Over, so he's the bus driver.
We'll let him resurface the ice,
well, I will,
so to speak.
I will wish a happy birthday to my night of the week, Braden McNabb, who celebrates his birthday this week. I'm also going to say happy National Hug Day, Frank.
Yes.
Big Daddy Hugs.
Big Daddy Hug, Frank Harnish.
He's in the house. Our play of the day, actually, you know what? Voting was really, really close.
Hey, hold on. I'm sorry. Can we get a promo made for Big Daddy Hug Frank Harnish?
I think we will. Yeah, we'll have to include a Big Daddy Hugs in our promo today. But
hey, Game Day Bruce, can you do the voice on that? That'd be great.
It's hug time. All right.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I'm sure Bruce is a very busy man. Let's not bother
him with trivial stuff like that. The team is on the bye week. Maybe Bruce is on vacation as well. So
yeah, he's probably out of town. So yes. Let's not bother the man. Let him enjoy his time.
I will text him tonight. So the play that finished in third, I thought, was a sick, nasty goal.
It really is.
It was Alexander Barkov, who somehow became Sasha Barkov all of a sudden. You're talking about Marchand and pronunciation changes?
It's always been Sasha.
Hasn't? Oh, all right. Well,
I mean, Alexander and Sasha, I think that those are interchangeable.
Yeah, they are. Alexander Zverev, the tennis player, goes by Sasha as well. It's just, I think, it's a thing over there, so.
By the way, I watched a little of the Australian Open last night. We'll get into that. So Alexander / I was going to mention Anisimova, and it made me think of Anisimov. But anyway, I digress.
Squirrel.
Yes, by the way, she lost, but go on.
Sasha Barkov with a sick goal. Alex Stalock probably not going to send him a Christmas card this year after this one.
Barkov has a step in on Stalock. Barkov shoots and scores! What a goal by Sasha Barkov! And the Panthers reclaim the lead. That is gorgeous. 16 for number 16.
Well, you see the skill, the speed, the determination, and the soft hands. Look at this pass. All the way from deep in the Panther zone. Hits Barkov. He cuts in. And then, as Stalock was going left to his right, we'll get a good view right here. And here's where the soft hands come in and just flips it back the other way, off the post and over the goal line.
It's a really good move. It's a great goal. It reminds me a little bit, not as filthy as Pavel Datsyuk, just kind of like going against the grain and flipping it over the blocker and right above the goalie's glove, but still a very nice move, a great pass. But not the play of the day.
No, it was not. Now, his teammate, Noel Achari, who somehow has found his way into this play of the day twice now in recent weeks.
He's been a scoring machine for him.
Yeah, well, he scored the game winner last night with 4.8 seconds to go
Noel Achari.
Isn't that what I said, Noel Achari?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So he scores the game winner.
Scoring machine or not, it's still Noel Achari.
With 4.8 to go to give the Panthers a win over the Thumbs. Minnesota Wild.
Connolly dances into the Minnesota zone. Here's Trocheck with a chance. It goes high. Ekblad with 10. Up high, Pesic. Final seconds with a shot. They score! They score! Goal with 4.8 to go! Can you believe this? 5-4 Panthers!
So that was the game winner. And just to give you an idea of how close this voting was, that finished with 30%. Alexander Barkov finished with 29%. When I voted this afternoon, Nola Achari was actually winning. However, he did not hold on for the victory. A late flurry of votes for Kale McCarr. I'm guessing some from Ryan Wallace's burner accounts.
What are you talking about?
Kale McCarr the victory.
I just retweeted this and said, you still have time to vote on Play of the Day. Some really good stuff here. That's all I did.
Okay, all right.
I didn't put Kale McCarr out into the
universe. No, I know. So,
but the entire Red Wings on this play, the entire Detroit Red Wing players on the ice left themselves saying, dude, where's McCarr?
Yeah.
For Kale McCarr. At the near side point, McCarr escapes into the circle. McCarr! Backdoor! Score! McCarr to McKinnon! And 2 points for Kale McCarr.
Again, stop, turn, and break. He loses the forward, and now on the far side, they lose McKinnon. Now, McKinnon is coming off the bench, and he slid in behind. And this is where that trust between two great players is starting to build.
He's so good.
Yeah, and I felt what was impressive about that play was also the play by McKinnon, because you could see the way the puck bounced off his stick initially, and he was still able to corral it and somehow get it in. Well, it was against the Red Wings, so I shouldn't say somehow get it in, but he ends up scoring that goal, and, you know, it had the opportunity to just be a nice pass, but credit McKinnon for making the play to score that goal as well.
And it was a nice comeback for McCarr there, too, McCarr and McKinnon, because when I voted, it was 40-40 with the first two plays, and McCarr was actually in third at that time with only 20.
Again, yeah, I didn't lead anybody. I just said.
I didn't say you did.
I just said, you guys have time to vote.
Yeah, by the way, I'm gonna text Connor McGahey and ask him how come he didn't use the line, where's McCarr?
I'm sure someone's already figured that one out, man.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe him. I mean, he's pretty good. I mean, we know he is definitely good with the words.
One of my favorite guys to listen to, Connor McGahey.
Really nice guy, too.
Great guy.
And you know, I mean, if you're going not just Play of the Day, but, well, how about the talent with McCarr and McKinnon together? That could be a combination for Colorado fans to be enjoying for a long, long time.
Who did you vote for?
I voted for the second one.
I voted for Barkov.
Yeah.
Nola Charvi?
Yes. I thought it was a nice tip. I did it just because I thought it was a nice tip.
He had to redeem himself after voting for Kane the day before.
That's a good point.
Well, no. Plus,
Kane doing nothing.
The other reason that I voted for it was because I like the fact that he didn't tip it with the blade of a stick or something like that. He actually went up on the shaft about halfway through, and it was a game-winning goal. I mean, that won the game for him with under 5 seconds to go. Big moment, big goal. Against a team that is not the greatest, but then neither is Detroit.
Listen, Kale McCarr is amazing. He's going to be an all-star many, many years. He's just really good.
I'm not arguing that fact at all. I like his game.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty wide-open competition today.
And I'll say this. My fans, there are people that follow me on Twitter, whatever, know their hockey because they got this one right.
They got it right.
Well done on the late push for Kale McCarr. Take a bow. Pat yourself on the back. Take your victory lap. Everyone that voted for Kale McCarr, well done.
Well, they well done at that, but they're not happy with you right now necessarily. How dare you take vacation time?
Yeah.
All right, that is going to do it for us here for the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. But immediately following, we will have the pregame show coming your way. You've been listening to the Insider Show. We are still live at Twin Peaks here on the Strip. Come on down, enjoy the game. Vegas Golden Knights in Boston coming up next on Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey.